Hey, everybody, it's Becky Davidson. Welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I'm so glad that you're here today. And trust me, you are going to love getting to meet our guest today. Matea has been part of the Rising Above family since she was a little girl. In fact, she went to our very first outreach event that we did 15 years ago for special needs families. That was our Easter extravaganza that we held. And she and her family have been part of our family at Rising Above since we started all those years ago. Now Matea is all grown up. She's going off to college, and she is going to be sharing her story with us about her experiences as a young person with a disability and how her disability has impacted her life, but also made her the strong woman that she is today. You are going to love getting to hear the wisdom and insight that she has to share with us, and I cannot wait for you to get to meet her. One of the events that Matea has attended with Rising Above over the past many, many years is our Heroes Ball. And our Heroes Ball is an event that we host for special needs families here in our community where they are treated to a family dance and a catered dinner. And it is always the highlight of the year for so many of our families. But of course, in light of COVID-19, we're taking all of our events and making them virtual. So this year, you, wherever you are around the world, can have fun with us as we host our Heroes Ball this year virtually on Friday night, September 18th. You can go to our website and sign your family up so you'll be up to date on the latest news and details related to that event. And it is going to be a super fun night that you are not going to want to miss out on. So go to our website, risingaboveministries.org. You can go to the events page and you'll find information about the Heroes Ball, and you can sign up there to get email updates and text updates to keep you informed of all the news related to that event. Now, here comes Matea. You're going to love hearing her story. She is such an amazing young woman who is using her life to impact so many other people. So here's my friend, Matea. Hey, Matea, thank you so much for being with me today for the Rising Above podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to share
I am excited that you're here because I have known you since you were a very little girl. I think your mom and I were talking today, and it was, 9 months old, I think, I first met your family. And so I've known you pretty much your whole life, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And how old are you now?
I'm 18 years old now.
You're 18 years old. And, you know, I remember I remember meeting you as a baby all those years ago, but mm-hmm. I remember you at our very first Rising Above Easter extravaganza mm-hmm. back probably 15 years ago. So you were like three years old. It may yes. have been 14 years ago, but you were 3-4 years old and just cutest little thing, and I'll never forget you there. In fact, your picture was in a magazine that came out, a local mm-hmm. magazine, and yes. you were the cover photo. It was great.
Yes, I do remember that. I've seen that picture a lot.
Yeah, it was yes. super sweet. Yes. But so you just said you were 18. So tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your family.
So my family's made up of me, my mom and my dad, and my little sister, Tia. We've lived here in Cookeville my whole life. My mom's from Jamestown, and my dad's from a small town called Gordonsville. And so they moved here, and then I was born. And so we started with Rising Above when I was really little. We met you and Jeff back when I was very young, and so Rising Above's always kind of been something we love to be actively participating with. And now that I'm older, we've been so busy, we haven't got to participate as much. But we love everything Rising Above.
Well, we love you, and we're glad that you've been part of the Rising Above family since you were a baby. So tell us a little bit about you, and tell us about Matea, because I mean, we're going to talk a lot about school and transition and your passion for disability awareness, but I want people to hear a little bit about you and your story.
So yes, I'm Matea, and as I said before, I'm 18 years old, and as my whole life, I'm a very chatty person. So most people know me, they know that I'm going to talk their head off, and I do not stop talking. I love to talk, and I love to talk and encourage people about disability. I've always been raised to never say, I can't do anything because I'm in a wheelchair. So I've always seen myself as somebody, I'm just a regular person.
Yeah.
I just can't walk.
You just can't walk.
And I did struggle with it when I was a little bit younger, especially around the middle school age. That's when I realized, oh, I can't be on the sports team like everybody else. But you know what I can do? I can stand on the sidelines and hold the water bottle for them. And that didn't bother me. I was just as much part of a team then as being out on the field. And so I've always been the kind of person that just loves to say, yes, I can do it. Just not like everybody else. But I'm going to do it.
Matea, I absolutely love that. And I have followed you on social media for a long time. We've been friends on Facebook. And I remember that so well, you posting when they were doing sports tryouts and things going on. And about, you know, that was hard and challenging because you couldn't do it in the ways that everybody else did. But you came up with ways.
Yes.
To be involved. So what were some of the things you were involved in? Because I remember you posting some things where you were involved in things that you did. You mentioned handing out water bottles. Tell me what all you did there.
So a lot of the stuff I got really active in was in middle school. I started with doing plays. So my fifth grade year, I was actually in the play. And I decided I really didn't like being on stage. But I did love helping out on the sidelines. So I became a stage manager the next year. And so I love not being bossy, but I love helping others and leading. So I enjoyed it so much, getting to help organize everything backstage. So that passion kind of grew and grew. And then my eighth grade year, I ended up being the first vice president of the student council. The first year they had ever had a student council at Prescott. It was me and Ella Grace Clopton. Ella was president and I was her vice president. And we started bringing a lot of changes to the school. And I just loved that. Loved getting to go out and talk about how awesome my school was and getting to go out and just share with everybody.
I love that. And I love that you have not let your life in a wheelchair stop you from doing what you wanted to do. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you today, because I've followed you, like I said, ever since you were a little girl. And I was sharing with you earlier today a story, one of the first stories I remember about you. And John Alex was going to the same school. You were not in school yet, but you were going to the same school to get therapy services. And so you had to have been, it was before school age for you. So you were,
I believe I was like less than three.
Well, three. Yeah, you were little. And so you, I remember I was leaving the school with, I don't know if I had John Alex with me or not, but I was leaving, you guys were coming in, and the principal and the vice principal stopped to talk to you. And everybody who ever meets you falls in love with you and wants to talk to you. Like you said, you're chatty, and everybody loves you. And I remember I don't remember if it was the principal or the assistant principal who said, looked at you, and they were like talking with you, and they said, all right, Matea, which one of us is the best looking? And I remember you stopping, and you were thinking, how am I going to answer this? And you took your fingers and you split them apart and you pointed to both of them at the same time, like this. And I remember thinking, so you were pointing to both of them. So you were saying you both are. And I love it that you, as that little girl, were already you know, learning how to talk with people and communicate with people. And it was just, I loved that. I will never forget that story about you.
Yes, I will. I've always just been a talker. My mom says she thinks I come out of the womb just chatting it up with everybody.
It's a great thing. And so you're using that skill of chatting to bring disability awareness. And so that is one of the things that I love about you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But, you know, you just graduated from high school.
Yes.
Now, your high school senior year was not exactly how you thought it was.
Not at all.
Not at all. And I would watch some of your posts. So share a little bit about your high school experience, what that looked like for you, and, you know, the challenges that came from being a young lady in a wheelchair in a huge high school like Coopville High School.
Yes. And I'm going to be honest, there was good days and there was bad days.
Yeah.
I remember my first day of school, it was lunch, and they accidentally released the freshman class too early, and I got lost. And I was scared to death.
Yeah.
And I went to lunch, and I kind of just cried a little bit, got myself together, and I was like, okay, found where my class was. Got everything together. And then the next day I had it down pat. And there were good days and there were bad days. And every high school was an experience. I did have to make a lot of changes. I was shocked. I did face discrimination in high school, which I wasn't expecting to face.
Right.
And that's not something you would expect in like a public school setting. But I've dusted myself off and I've stood up and I made a choice not to focus on that and focus on what I could do to better myself and focus on stuff that made me happy.
Matea, that is brilliant. And I absolutely love that. And I wish that there are so many, I know there's so many people who struggle with doing that just in day-to-day life. And you as an 18-year-old young woman, you're already doing that. So bravo. Bravo to you. That is amazing. And so, you know, I love you. You talked about in middle school how you figured out ways to be part of the team, figured out ways to be part of the play in ways that you wanted to. And when you were in high school, I know you were part, I saw pictures, you know, things on Facebook that you posted about this business club that you were in. And you've won awards and all kinds of things. Share a little bit about that.
So, my freshman and sophomore year, I was always, or pretty much my whole life, I wanted to be a teacher. Well, then my sophomore year, some stuff happened. And so I kind of had to change my goals. And I'd actually started my own business my freshman year of high school where I made monogram decals. So there's many different paths at the high school offered, like career-wise. Mm-hmm. So I decided, let's focus on business, because that's something you kind of have a knack for. So I joined our business club at the high school. And my senior year, I became the treasurer of the club, which pretty much the titles, we really didn't use titles. We were just a team that led the club. And through that, I learned I did. Cannot remember what my competition I competed in because coronavirus got everything messed up.
Kind of messed everything up, yeah.
So, yes, but through that, I also joined what's called Virtual Enterprise, where we did pretty much it's just like a fake business that you truly run. We had a website and everything. And through that, I was kind of like the vice president to the class leader. It was all student-led, so we ran everything. And I won in the top 25 nationally for my branding campaign. I won, I had all these written down, and I can't remember which ones but there were so many. But I do know I did win for the branding and then the marketing for that. I won in the top 25.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And I love that. And, you know, we talked a few minutes ago when you and I talked before we started recording. You know, you have in your life faced many, many trials, many, many surgeries, many hospital stays. And yet your whole attitude is amazing. You know, one of the words that we use a lot with special needs moms and special needs families is they are resilient. You know, they get knocked down and they get back up again. And yes. If I were to think of someone who's resilient, you would be top of the list.
Oh, thank you.
You are resilient. And so talk a little bit about, I know, you know, a lot of them happened when you were little, and you don't really remember those, but share a little bit about, you know, hospital stays, being in the hospital, and kind of, the fear and anxiety that can come along with that and how you have overcome that.
So from the first part of my life, I'd say from about the age of when I was born till about when I was 10 years old, I would typically spend 1 week out of each month in the hospital. So I missed a lot of school. And when I turned 10, I also have a disease called scoliosis. So I had a close to 90-degree curve in my back. And they told me if I didn't have the surgery, that it would kill me. So I was forced to have a surgery that usually they don't do till you're a teenager or higher at the age of 10. So I had to miss 3 months of school. And I spent 10 days in the hospital and an extensive recovery period for my back surgery. That's the main surgery I remember because it was the one when I was the oldest. And so it took a lot out of me for that surgery, but I feel like it made me stronger in different ways.
Yeah. Well, and then you had a scare last year too. You were back in the hospital.
Yes.
I remember that.
I ended up with pneumonia.
Yeah.
Which I'd never had in my life before. And now that I'm older and my body, it's not that I'm older, just the way my body is now compared to when I was little, my lungs aren't fully able to expand.
Gotcha.
So I've suffered something called restrictive lung disease, which causes sleep apnea and a bunch of other things. So which means I'm more susceptible to get pneumonia.
Okay.
And so that was the first time in my life I'd ever had pneumonia. Gosh, was it scary.
Yeah, but you beat it. You beat it.
Yes. I beat it, and I was glad I did.
Yeah, we are too. We are too.
Yes.
Well, you have been through a lot in your life, and yet you are still smiling, and you have goals, and you have things that you're like, I'm going to accomplish these things that God's put in place in front of me to do. And one of those big things that's coming up is probably what, starting next week or in about 2 weeks?
It's actually 2 weeks from today. So,
And you will be starting your college career.
Yes.
Your college career. And so tell a little bit about that and what you're planning on doing and how college may look a little different for you than it might other people.
So in 2 weeks, I'll be attending Tennessee Tech University here in Cookeville. And my plan is to major in accounting, and I just always have had a passion for business and numbers, and I feel like that was a field that I could pretty much do anything with. Mm-hmm. When people think of accountants, they just think of taxes, but that's not the only thing that you can do. And so I feel like that was a field that I could just blossom in, being in a wheelchair. It's not very physically demanding, where some other aspects of business can be demanding physically.
Right.
So I'm excited to start there. And we really, the college experience in disabilities, it's not something people talk about often. Mm-hmm. You hear in public school, they talk about IEPs, 504s, SPED. Well, in college, it's quite different because they're not legally required to have everything like in public school. It's different. So we are having to transition everything and learn how it works in college, which has been an adjustment, but there's been plenty of bumps in the road, just as there is with anything, but it is different. But I want people to know you can go to college and have a disability. You can make it happen. It might take some perseverance, but you can make it happen.
I love that. And I love that, you know, you're like, we're going to do this and we're going to figure out a way. And what I've seen is that you are advocating for yourself.
Yes.
You know, just the conversation I had with you and your mom this morning, you know, you are the one, you're out there advocating for yourself. Mm-hmm. She's helping you, but you are the one making the calls and getting things done. And I'm just super impressed by that.
Yes. I've been on the phone, I'd say, back in April, we decided that Nothing had happened yet. We're still in the, we didn't know if we were going back to school. We didn't know what was going on, but I'd not heard anything from my college about what I was supposed to do. I had no clue. And nobody had set up a meeting or anything for us to go be on campus. And I'd done a tour back in October. And I noticed there was a lot of things that I couldn't get to on campus mm-hmm. or that I couldn't get around. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go here, I've got to be able to get indoors. I've got to be able to get around. So I started making phone calls, and then that led to more phone calls. So I say I've spent about at least 2 to 3 hours a day the past 4 months on the phone trying to figure out what services are offered, what I can get, what the college provides, what I need to provide, where I can find resources to help get those needs. We've been to plenty of meetings. We've been on campus around 10 to 20 times walking around. We walked for the disability office. We've done that about 3 times where we've had them out, show them sidewalks that needs to be fixed, doorways. And luckily Tech has been very wonderful and they've accommodated and they've may have found a solution for us.
And I love that you've been the one to do it, you know, with your family's help, but you just like you have been your whole life. Mm-hmm. You've been, I've got this goal and I'm not going to let this mm-hmm. stop me from getting to where I want to be. So mm-hmm. that is amazing. Now you talked about some of the issues at Tech getting in and out places. Mm-hmm. What about when you're out in the community? We've had a conversation about that too.
Yes. You know,
tell about that journey, about just here in community in general. Yes. What is it like for you in a wheelchair?
Well, our community here in Cookeville, they're pretty great. They're pretty gracious when it comes to people that with special needs. We're a pretty close-knit community. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves everybody. Everybody helps everybody. And so I feel like here in Cookeville, I can get around to most of the places here. Everywhere it's pretty handicap accessible. There's some places, like I know in the older parts of town, mm-hmm. I try to avoid because they're not as handicap friendly as other places. But like, it's hard sometimes, like in parking lots, most people don't realize just because it's a handicapped parking spot doesn't mean I can use that parking spot because I have to unload my wheelchair.
Right.
Or I have to get my medical equipment out, which makes it even more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not everybody realizes, you know, that when you're in that wheelchair van, you need that extra mm-hmm. room, like you said, to be
yes.
able to get out and do,
yes.
you know, go into places and whatnot. And so
yes.
that can be challenging. And so, so I know that you know, your heart is disability awareness,
yes.
to be a disability advocate. What does that look like for you?
Well, this summer I have a friend who's in a wheelchair like me, and she is starting high school. So this summer we have been working with them. We talk to them once a week. We encourage them. I help her. She's newer to our school system. So I helped reach out to a lot of the teachers I knew. I reached out to some of the principals to connect her with them and help get her ready for high school. We went over there with her about a week ago or right before school started to show her how to get to where the handicap access is at the high school. Unfortunately, since COVID, I cannot physically go into the building with her. So she did have to explore that on her own. But I call her once a week. As soon as this is over, she's coming over and we're going to debrief on how it's going so far. And so I want to be able to go out and help people that are coming or going to be going through similar things to what I went through.
I love that. Matea, I love that. And that you're taking your experience mm-hmm. and helping someone else who's coming along and helping them know how to navigate that. And mm-hmm. so that is absolutely beautiful. Now, you know, you've known John Alex, my son.
Yes.
His whole life too. Y'all have pretty much yes. grown up together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, John Alex is 22, you're 18. And mm-hmm. you know, as his mom, I have a pet peeve. I have something that just drives me nuts when people do this with him. So for me, it's when I'm like, he's 22 years old, and yet people talk to him like he's a baby. There's some
yes.
people, you know, just are like, because he's nonverbal, he's in a wheelchair, they just, you know, assume that they need to talk to him like he's a baby. And that drives me, that I just can't stand that. So do you have some things that you've encountered that are your pet peeves? What are some things that you wish people would go, okay, I may be in a wheelchair, but, you know.
Yes, I get to talking slow a lot, or talks to me kind of like my baby. Or something that really bothers me is when, if my mom's there with me, they won't speak to me. They'll speak to my mom. Or, like, I noticed at school one day, there was a substitute teacher. She didn't talk to me. She talked to my assistant. And my assistant just looked at her and said, well, I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Even yesterday, I went through the Chick-fil-A line, and my assistant pulled up and said, oh, she'd like to order. She's in the back. Well, she rolled my window down. Well, then the Chick-fil-A worker asked, oh, hi, princess. What can we get for you today? Well, he was either being really, really nice or talking to me like I'm young.
Yeah.
And so I didn't mind it. I like to joke it off. I'm pretty chill when that comes to stuff like that. I find it funny sometimes. But it is kind of frustrating every now and then.
Yeah. Because people assume if you're in a wheelchair that you might have an intellectual disability along with it, but you don't. Mm-hmm. And so I know that that's got to be challenging.
Yes.
We just want people to see you. I know just from following you on Faith, I'm getting ready to say Facebook because I'm getting ready to ask about faith, but Facebook, that your faith is very important to you.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about that and how God has helped you on your journey. As someone who faces challenges, the challenges that you do.
So I've grown up in church my whole life. And it wasn't until, I'd say, about midway through my high school experience that I started feeling this urge to go talk and go share what I'd been through. And my parents have always said, God's blessed you with your mind. Mm. Go out and do it. Do whatever you put your mind to. Mm. And go out and talk and let people know. And so I've always felt like God's called me to go share. And it actually started, I'd say, back at the beginning of this year. I got a call, and I wrote about this in my blog, from the company that makes my wheelchair. And they asked if I'd come speak to their 1,000 employees and tell them all about my wheelchair.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you want me to come talk? Oh, no, you don't. Well, then, about a month later, I was sitting in my room and I was watching a devotional by Sadie Robertson, and she was talking about the call of God. And that just literally spoke to me. And I was like, I think God's talking to me through her, saying, it's time to go do what you're supposed to do, and start talking. Well, then the next week, somebody came up to me and was like, you know, you should start a blog. Well, then a few days later, another person came and told me that. And I hadn't spoke to these people in a long time.
Wow.
Just signs started what I consider signs. Mm-hmm. People just kept bringing up blogs and talking about my disability. And so I kept saying, no, I'm not good at that. Well, then finally, about a month ago, we had a friend that his mom was in a car accident. And she messaged me and she said, I need help. I don't know places in town that I can go. We can get my chair in. I don't know. Do you know any good vacation spots? And I'm a humongous Disney fan. So, of course, I go to Disney. It's fun. It's very handicap friendly. She's like, you really should start writing a blog.
Oh, good.
And I said, that's the final sign. I'm going to start it. So that week I started a blog. And I feel like that's what God has led me to do.
Mm.
And so that's why I enjoy sharing. And I feel like that's what I'm called to do.
I love that. And we will share the link to your blog. You just started it.
Yes.
And we will share that link in the show notes so people can come and check out your blog. And I know it's going to be such a blessing to so many people who find it.
Yes. Yes, I've only gotten one post up yet. I'm hoping to get another one up in the next week. Things with college have been kind of hectic.
Yeah.
That's had to take a little bit of a backseat till I can get college up and going, and then hopefully I can start getting stuff out once a week.
It's going to be great. So we will put the we'll put the link there so people can follow you there. Yeah. And, you know, you said something a few minutes ago. You were talking about your parents. And I've known your parents for, you know, your whole life.
Yes.
And your parents have been so encouraging to you and so just such a help and a and just helping you through this whole journey as your mom and dad. What are some things specifically that you can think of to share with our listeners? Because most of the people who are going to be listening to this are going to be other parents. What are some things you would share with them that your parents have done along the way that have helped you be where you are today?
My parents have really pushed me to be responsible for what I want. So they've always said, if you're going to do something, you have to find a way to do it. It's your responsibility to find a way. They'll help me in any way I need, but they want me to be the person that goes and talks. So one thing they pushed me to do was I wanted to be on the cheerleading team. Why can't I do a back handspring? So I can't physically be on the cheer team. So I went to the coach and I said, do you need a manager on the cheer team? Mm-hmm. And she said, I sure do. And so my parents said, we'll take you to the ball games. Then we'll be there and cheer you on. You go out there and you do what you need to do with a cheer team. So for my junior year, I was the cheer team manager. So I stood out there at the football games, held their water bottle, counted the pom-poms, made sure their shoes were ready to go, helped. They had little junior cheerleaders that they brought on, helped watch all those girls, and I helped connect the Sparkle team with the actual football cheerleaders.
Now, explain the Sparkle team, because I think what the Sparkle team is amazing. So tell about the Sparkle team.
The Sparkle team is a special needs cheer team. So students that have special needs, they can join the Sparkle team and be cheer alongside for a quarter at each home football game, along with the football cheerleaders. It is a really, it's a heartwarming thing to watch, especially at pep rallies. Those girls are wonderful. They get right into it. I've never seen so much school pride. They are true cavaliers.
I love it. And I know some of those girls who have cheered over, it's been Sparkle cheerleaders, and it's so sweet. So you helped manage all of those things. And so your parents, they, you know, they encouraged you. It sounds like if you want something, we'll support you, we'll help you, but encouraged you to take the steps to go for whatever it was you wanted to go for.
And especially like in high school, like I went to my IEP meetings alongside my parents. Mm-hmm. So instead of the teachers going to a concern to my taking their concerns to my parents, they would bring them to me. And if I didn't resolve them, then they would take them to my parents. Mm-hmm. And my parents really wanted me to be able to be responsible for my own actions. So now that I'm an adult, when I'm out in the real world, I can fully make decisions and not have to be, I got to go ask my mom and dad right now. So they really have pushed and made me take responsibility. Yeah. And they're always there like they were today. I had a meeting this morning and my mom was right there with me answering questions when I needed her to. Mm-hmm. But they really have told me you can do it. Yeah. God gave you your mind. It's your place to take care of it.
Yeah, it's so great. And I love how I've loved watching over the years them leading you and helping you. And now they're just helping you to soar and to be who you've called to be. And I cannot wait to see what this next phase in your life of you going into college and the things you know, just because you've encountered things your whole life that have been hard and setbacks, you know they're coming, but you've already settled it in your heart.
Yes.
You know that God's going to help you through it, and that there's nothing that you can't do when you've got Him behind you helping you. So I think that's amazing.
And another thing my parents have really pushed for me not to do is not to be sad about being in a wheelchair. You can't make an excuse about being in a wheelchair because it was not your choice. It's not for you to be upset with. They've always told me it's a blessing. It's always, there's a reason for it, and it's a gift. Use your gift. even though it comes in different ways. So they've always told me that. And so I've always applied that. If I get sad one day and I'm like, I can't go ride a roller coaster like everybody else can, they're like, we'll find something else you can do. Look in a different path. You can, even though you can't do that, you can't be sad about it. You got to find something else that you can do.
So what would be some of the blessings you would say that have come out of your life of being in a wheelchair?
There's a lot. I'm trying to think of getting to help others and getting to meet a whole different group of people. One thing that I, on the playground, it, like other kids would go run and play, but I've always been able to make good relationships with adults and other people because, and I've built my talking skills. I can't run and play on the playground, but I can go have a conversation with an adult. No worries. I've all pretty much been able to do that my whole life.
Love it.
And I consider that a gift that it helps me now that I'm older. I can have a full conversation with people and not worry that I'm too young to be in the conversation or I don't know my stuff. I feel like that's helped my whole life.
I love that. That is so true. So true. And I just, I've loved, you know, just seeing you grow up over these years. And, you know, we end each podcast with the one thing, one thing. And so I want to ask you, what is the one thing you wish people knew about you? Not about Matea in a wheelchair, but what do you wish people knew about you?
That it's okay to be different and be proud that you're different. And not to be worried or what others think of you. I like to think of it as how you can help others accept their self. So I like to want people to think that I'm okay with how I am, and I want to better the world and make it a better place for other people that have disabilities.
You are a wise woman, Matea. You are a wise woman. That is so great. Well, I want to thank you for taking this time to be with me. Do you have anything else you want to add? Do you have any final thoughts?
I do have to say this. I love a good wheelchair joke.
Oh.
I'm one.
Do you have a good wheelchair joke you can share with us?
It's kind of one. But I'm always say they see me rolling. Like, you know the song, they see me rolling. See me hating. That's one of my favorite anthems to ride my chair around.
That is so great.
That's what I use when I actually ran for senior class president, and my slogan was, "I can't walk, but I sure can run for president."
I remember that.
I love using that, and some people think it's not that I'm being rude about my disability, but I'm using that to show, hey, I have a disability, but I'm not letting it slow me down. So it's kind of a wheelchair joke a little bit, but not much. But I always love sharing that. So
you go. I think that is great. And like I said, I can't. You're getting ready to come take Tennessee Tech by storm. Mm-hmm. You're going to make such a difference on that campus in so many ways. And I cannot wait to follow you and see what that looks like. Thank you so much, Matea.
Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm so glad we had this time to catch up, and I can't wait to share your story with our listeners.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.